Next item on the agenda is Department of Conservation Recreation 09-0431. It's ordered.
Good afternoon, Mr. Boone, members of the commission. This won't be quite that brief, but it'll be a lot later than the one we had this morning. The Department of Conservation and Recreation, in conjunction with VCU, is requesting authorization to install 60 prothonotary warbler nest boxes mounted on 3/4-inch conduit pipe poles along the shoreline Northwest River in Chesapeake, adjacent to the Northwest River Natural Area Preserve. The project is protested by an adjacent property owner. This was on last month's agenda. We got in touch with that adjacent property owner, failed to notify him within a proper amount of time. He asked for the continuance, and you all granted that. So this was continued from last month.
All right, sir.
Project is located in southern Chesapeake. Here's the border with Carolina. This is the Northwest River here, the bypass going down into Carolina. To the north, this is the Northwest River Park, owned and run by the city of Chesapeake. To the south is the Northwest River Area Natural Preserve, owned and run by Department of Conservation and Recreation. Just a little bit closer view, showing the run of the river. This is a tributary called, I believe, Smith Creek on this side and Indian Creek on that side, I believe. Just opposite?
Opposite.
These two tribs and the Northwest River were subject of a previous application by the city in conjunction with the game department to install similar type nest boxes for this species. That permit was granted. It was unopposed. Boxes have been installed and appear to be housing birds at this time. One more closer view. Again, subject of this project is along this shoreline, the northern shoreline of this landmass. The original application came in, each dot representing a location just offshore of the shoreline where these boxes would be installed. We notified the adjacent property owners. Mr. Luton represents Northwest River Farms, I believe it's called, and he objected to the placement of those boxes in such close proximity to his property, fearing that there may be some habitation by these birds, which are a species of special concern, not an endangered species, but a designation by the Game Department as a species of special concern that warrant conservation measures. When I got note of his opposition, I contacted the applicant. The applicant subsequently revised the plan to remove the majority of the boxes away from the adjacent property owner's shoreline and relocated them further down the river and also to a couple of interior tributaries within the preserve itself. Contacted Mr. Luton. He still maintained his objection and is here today, I believe. Now, some fun facts about the warbler. They will nest generally in holes in trees. I believe it is the intent of this project to provide them nesting habitat while removing them from threat of predation by snakes and small mammals, probably. Again, speaking with the applicant, asked them if this project could be further modified to install these nest boxes actually on the upland of the preserve, taking them off the state bottom, but they did not feel that that would be an effective project, especially in light of the success they were seeing with the project to the north. And again, they are a species of high conservation need, which is a designation as part of the relative conservation need by the Game Department. Just a diagram of what the boxes will look like and what the boxes do look like. This is again just south of the shoreline of the Northwest River City Park in Chesapeake. Again, averaging 6 to 8 feet offshore, but clearly on subaqueous bottom under the jurisdiction of this commission. As I mentioned previously, the issue is Mr. Luton of Northwest River Farms objects. He's concerned that should the species become endangered in the future, this could result in problems should he seek to develop his upland property. Once again, the applicant was notified of the protestant's concerns. There was the modified request, but Mr. Luton maintains his objection. DEMS indicates that the placement of the nest boxes in the water is necessary for successful breeding and research access, and stated no environmental impacts are expected. Corps of Engineers issued a nationwide permit for the project on April 16th of this year. No other agencies commented on the project. In summary, the project is almost exactly the same as the previous project, which appears to be working as planned. The warbler has been identified as a species of concern, which warrants special attention to improve their populations. Nest boxes themselves represent a minor impact and encroachment over state-owned public submerged lands adjacent to the Natural Area Preserve, and given their location, we do not believe that it would represent a navigation hazard in the waterway. There is a lot of bass fishing in this area. Just upriver is Bob's Fishing Hole, which is a very active freshwater fishing access point. While there's no way to predict that the species will, if the species will ever warrant protection under Federal Endangered Species Act, staff believes the project, as demonstrated by the prior project, will have a positive impact on the nesting and breeding population, and therefore a population increase for the animal. Staff believes the applicant has made a reasonable attempt to address the concern raised by the adjacent property owner by relocating those boxes that he could, or as many boxes as he could, away from the adjacent property. Accordingly, we are recommending approval of the project as modified with a permit condition that should the nest boxes, that the nest boxes be monitored annually, and should they fall into disrepair or get knocked down by boating traffic or whatever, they be repaired or removed at the point they become no longer inhabitable by the birds. That's all I have. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Any questions of Mr. Woodard? Thank you, Jay. Is the applicant here or represented?
I'm with you.
You're with me?
Yeah.
My sympathies. Raise your hand. It's been a long morning, as you well know. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the true self you got? You state your name for the record, please, ma'am.
May Hudgens.
Who do you represent, Ms. Hudgens?
Well, can I?
Absolutely, you sure can. Thank you. No need to be nervous.
Oh, no. Of course not. I represent Coastal Virginia Wildlife Observatory. I work with them. They are part of this project. The Prothonotary warbler is a neotropical migrant, and this paper gives you a little preview of what we've done with this project so far. They are a woodland, wetland habitat for breeding, and then they go to Central South America in the mangrove swamps during the winter until they return. And this project began 23 years ago around Presque Isle National Wildlife Reserve. They put up about 80 boxes, attached them to the trees, and found out they were being wiped out of predation. So they moved them onto poles about several feet off the banks of the James and had extreme success. Predation was almost zero. They expanded it to four different parks, so that, and there was four parks. They have now have over 500 boxes, and last each year they're releasing about 1,700 nestlings are producing from these success. Nationwide, the Prothonotary warbler is decreasing in number. In Virginia, it's increasing in number. These projects are showing that with these boxes set up, that the bird thrives.
Mm-hmm.
It does well. He has the habitat to keep from predation, and he's doing well. In 2004, the North American Land Bird Conservation Plan, which is produced by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology with the assistance of numerous state wildlife agencies and funded by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, estimate that there are 800,000 Prothonotary warblers. They aren't endangered. They're showing success. They're doing better. My husband and I monitored these boxes that are out there now, 38 boxes, this year because of the success that they had in the exploratory the first year in 2008. We are licensed to band, state and federally, under Dr. Riley's permit. So we are legally able to band the birds. We banded 108 nestlings out of those 38 boxes this year, 28 females, successful. We're excited. across the way, there's perfect habitat. I mean, put these boxes out, and the birds will thrive.
What time of year do they hatch?
If you'd like to come with us, you can come look. They arrive in April. The birds, they have two broods.
Okay.
The first is early May, and the last is mid-June. The last, we finished up the project. The last four banding birds we banded was 1st of July, July 10th.
Can you respond to the assertion that should they colonize somewhere else, would that make that property off premises or are
they
off limits? Or
they don't colonize.
Or start.
They just breed where there's appropriate habitat. So this is a wooded wetland. A wooded wetland is where they're going to breed. They're going to find a wooded wetland to breed. You put those boxes out there, they'll come to the boxes.
In other words, the box is a more preferable place for them to nest than, let's say, a tree or something like that, would you say, based on your observation?
Well, because the predation rate is so much lower in a box than in a tree.
Okay.
They seem to prefer the boxes once they find them.
Okay. Questions? Thank you, ma'am.
And, you know, we would love to have the first thing where the boxes are right here beside the across from the property, because we have to just, it hurts to go past that property.
Mr. Water, hadn't it been modified?
Yeah.
If that was possible, we would love that one.
But, Jay, what's before the commission today? Hadn't it been modified or not? Has it or has it not?
This was the original request that was sent to public notice.
Yes.
And was objected to by Mr. Luton. In light of his objection, the proposal is modified to what you see here. He still objects.
Okay.
Staff recommendation was...
Who modified it? Staff or...
Dr. Riley with VCU, and I don't believe he's here today.
He's not, I'm representing him.
Okay, but what we have before us is the modified version. Is that correct?
That's correct, and that's what the staff recommendation for approval is at this point.
Okay. Thank you. If there's anyone else here like to speak on behalf of this project? Yes, sir. Sorry. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone opposed to the project? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Raise your hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You state your name for the record, please.
My name is L. Randolph Luton. Mr. Bowman and members of the commission, thank you for letting me address this hearing and place our concerns in the record.
Yes, sir.
In 1961, my wife, Beverly Jean Luton, and I bought the land that became Northwest River Farms, LLC. A later survey proved it to be 513.019 acres with a fringe of swamp and wetlands partly bordering Northwest River and Smith Creek. Jeannie and I both grew up on farms, and we like most animals and birds. So far this year, we spent $120.65 for sunflower seed to feed birds and squirrels in our great red yard. I have those receipts here I'd like to give you.
Okay.
I'm not a bird eater.
Spend as much as my wife does, I believe.
We are not here because we dislike Miss Warbler, but because no one can guarantee this project will not have consequences in the future which will erode our bundle of rights in the land we struggled for when we were young. Let me state in the beginning, this project seems to have merit, and we do not oppose the theory that these artificial nests could help save the species from further degradation of their population. However, as many seemingly good and worthwhile endeavors have done previously, the effort to enhance the numbers of these warblers could fail after attracting more to nest in the trees bordering the river than natural choice. I understand she said that wasn't a natural choice, but it is, according to the information I have here. The trees are the natural choice. No one can guarantee they will not become endangered in the future. To the general public, placing a species on the endangered species list is great, as efforts are taken to save species from possible extinction. However, to the landowner who is unfortunate enough to have an endangered species on his property, it can be a catastrophe. A bald eagle or a red-cockaded woodpecker could virtually claim squatter's rights, but the landowner still receives a real estate tax bill. The endangered species laws penalizes the landowners for the benefit of others. And I read where the maximum fines could be $50,000 and 30 years in jail for tampering with endangered species. So you bet I won't do it. I think that you know the instances when this has occurred, and I need not relate this in this memo. Our land is mostly high land, and you can see that on this picture here. We tried to clear a small area. We bought it with the dream of developing it into a productive farm. We tried to clear a small area whenever we could scrape together some extra money. We lived several years in an old drafty house owned by Jeannie's parents and worried year to year how we could make the payment on this land. Jeannie worked as a radiological technologist and I as an insurance claims investigator. I worked any spare hours I could, weekends, holidays, nights, farming almost 200 acres part-time by myself. We paid for the farm, but we sacrificed and we squeezed every penny in order to do it. Due to wetland laws, and I would say the low commodity prices, we had to stop developing the farm. We have about 50 acres of productive farmland, which we now rent to another farmer. Our dream of a large and productive farm, a waterfront farm, will never materialize, but we now realize that our land, probably one of the most appealing large waterfront parcels in southern Tidewater, has a great potential for development into an upscale waterfront community. That is why we are concerned about this project. We do not believe the best area has been chosen to erect these nests. Why put them in areas bordering marshes and, in our case, a relatively thin veneer of swamp bordering the river? Why put them in an area where in the future they could detrimentally impact valuable high land when there are miles and miles of rivers and creeks even west of the park of the Northwest River? And I might say I was never notified about those that went up on the Northwest River banks. Northwest River, which has thick hardwood swamps on both sides and absolutely no chance of future developments. That's some information gleaned from the internet about the nesting habits of these warblers. First of all, I have this from the Mattapony and Pamunkey Rivers wetlands area, and it says in part, warblers prefer a lowland forest near standing water for nesting sites. Their populations are declining over much of their historic breeding range in response to degradation and destruction of lowland forests and associated wetlands. In Virginia, they are mostly commonly found nesting along the traveled tributaries of Chesapeake Bay. The Mattapony and Pamunkey Rivers wetland habitats provide excellent nesting opportunities for this species, and they are asking for these boxes up there. This one states it breeds in hardwood swamps in southern Canada and in eastern United States, nesting in a cavity, sometimes using old downy woodpecker holes. Well, we don't have downy woodpeckers in this area, I understand. The male often builds several incomplete, unused nests in his territory. The female builds the real nest. It winters in the West Indies, Central America, and Northern South America. I'm going to stop here and add something about the red-cockaded woodpecker that y'all probably know. If you find a nest where it's used or unused on your property, that property comes off limits to a landowner or quite an area around it. The preferred foraging habitat is dense, woody streams where the warbler forages actively in low foliage, mainly for insects and snails. This one states the warbler is unique among the eastern warblers because it nests in holes in trees. Abandoned downy woodpecker holes are the most common nest sites, but the warbler will nest in a variety of natural cavities in dead branches, broken top of a stump, and knee of a cypress tree. As with most cavity nesters, the availability of suitable nesting cavities is the most critical habitat requirement for breeding, and they call them golden swamp warblers. Cavity nest sites are not only habitat features required by the species. The warblers are rarely ever found far from some body of water, whether it be a slow-running river or creek, a large wooded lake, their favorite flooded bottomland forest, or a low spot in the forest that maintains temporary standing water.
Thank you.
I have some questions, and I thought, is Mr. Loomis the one here?
And your name is?
Renee Hudgens.
Sir, so, direct your questions to the chair, please.
I'll direct them to the chair. Maybe you can direct them to her. What other creeks, rivers, et cetera, did you consider prior to picking the Northwest River for this project? Did you consider the Pamunkey, the Mattapony, or other Chesapeake, Virginia Beach, and Currituck County areas, such as the North Landon River, Pocatee Creek, Tolls Creek, and Bay, Moyock Creek, Back Bay, Lake Crummer, or Chesapeake and Albemarle Canal? Because each one of these areas has the large trees bordering the river, both sides of the river. I need some help with the overhead map. Why did you choose an area with more marshes than the dense woody streams these birds evidently need? Did you consider the stretch of the Northwest River between the park and the highway bridge, which has nothing but old-growth hardwood swamps on both sides and no potential for development? These are the questions I need to ask.
Well, I think, Mr. Luton, quite honestly, I can answer those questions. Any citizen of the Commonwealth of Virginia has the right to apply for a permit through the Marine Resources Commission. Why she chose this one specific location, I mean, I don't know where you're going with your track of questioning as to what the purpose of the answer would be. So what's before us is an application. Ma'am, do you want to respond as to why this is a special place that...
You know, I couldn't answer that question. I mean, the habitat's perfect there. It's an ideal, perfect situation as far as habitat for the warbler.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I disagree with that, and the reason I'm here is to show you why.
I'd like to also add, if I might.
Not now.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is the park. This is our property here. They want to put the boxes down here. This is an old soils map, but unfortunately this old one's been made in our area, based back in the 1950s. But with the soils map, you can tell what kind of property, what the soils are, and therefore what the trees and marshes were. I've colored in the yellow part, marshes. And this is where the equipment is alongside the wide marshes here, instead of around where the trees are.
Mr. Luton, where she chooses to put them is not really what's relevant. What I need to know from you is why you're objecting specifically to this project. That's that. I don't have specific expertise in the knowledge of this bird, the species of it, only what I've read, and I did take time to read before the commission meeting about this bird, so I'm familiar with it, but I just need to know, as you're objecting to the permit from this commission, as to why you object to the permit.
The reason I object to this permit is because, as they said here, Mr. Woodward said, there's no way to guarantee with a failing population going down 2 or 3% a year, that's what I have read, maybe somebody correct me there, this bird's not going on the threatened list and then on the endangered list. I don't want them invited to my land if they're going on the endangered list. Because, as you well know, that takes away my land. I worked too hard for it. My wife worked too hard for it. And as I said, I have no objection to the overall principle of what they're doing. I don't hate birds. But the problem is, as I asked Mr. Woodward when I contacted him the first time, can you guarantee you're not talking about a threatened species here? He said, no, I can't guarantee. Nobody else can either. And I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But let me tell you, 30 years ago, we started saving, trying to save the red-cockaded woodpecker down in North Carolina and over south. They're still trying to save that woodpecker. If that woodpecker lands on your property or builds a nest on your property, kiss it goodbye. So I'm fighting for my property. That's why I'm here.
Understood. Any questions of Mr. Luton, members of the commission? Mr. Fox?
Yeah, you're nice, but Mr. Luton, one of the documents you gave us is this one. And this shows the warbler to be of conservation status of least concern, which is two steps below threat, which is, so that would make it one, two, three, four, five steps below endangered. It would seem to me that maybe there are not very many of these birds, but extinction is not close.
Well, information I saw was that the population is degrading about 2% a year at the present time. Now, maybe somebody, maybe Slater can clarify that. I don't know. I'm not as attuned to that problem, but we already have on our property canebrake ratters. This was something that happened years ago when they did a study over in the Northwest River Park. They're a threatened species. All of a sudden, we had people running all over our property with antennas and so forth looking for these canebrake rattlers. Even the farmer farming the land at that time had to take a tractor and pull these young students out of it. Middle of the field, we thought they could drive across the field in the middle of the winter, that sort of thing. And so they moved that project over to this swamp where it should have been started off with. What in, I'm referring to what you're saying here, I don't think this is the best area. I still maintain that regardless. And the best area would be what I was trying to show them, where that pink is. That is where your trees are. They need trees. They don't need marshland. And that's a wide, you've got a wide area of swamp, hardwood swamps in other areas. Where they're putting them is in the marshes. Now, where are the trees? They're on my property.
Understood. Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Lee. Is anyone else here in opposition to the project?
I do have one.
Yes, sir.
Okay. To conclude, we do not dislike these pretty little birds, and we do not dislike efforts to help them. What we dislike is the unknown future possibilities, such as these warblers decide they really like our trees better than the nest in the boxes. Then if they are placed on a threatened or endangered list, what we have worked for all these years and hope to leave our children could be taken from us with no recourse. Therefore, we respectfully request that you find an area far enough away from our land so the natural migration will not affect us. And there's plenty of land out there to do it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Ma'am, you've got 2 minutes to rebut or wrap up. Is there anything you'd like to say as the applicant? You need to come up here and do it if you will.
all I have to say is one of the things I was going to mention that you brought up was that it's really not even close to endangered. It's the least concern. And that the habitat is excellent. When we first arrived to monitor the boxes, we got out of the car, and the first thing we heard was the planetary warblers singing. Lots of them. They love the area.
And the more you have them, the less likely they're going to be on any species.
The more you have of them. And 23 years ago, they started this project, and it's just, they've gotten better in Virginia. Where nationally, they're declining. They're doing better in Virginia because of, and the experts believe it's because of these voluntary box projects.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? President Paul.
All right.
Thank you. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The nexus to the Endangered Species Act would be critical habitat, and you've either got critical habitat on your property or you don't. I mean, that's the way I would look at the critical habitat issue. And so it either exists or it doesn't. I think the need for the bird is significant in that it is identified as a species of concern. This is a positive management action that's been recommended to try to reverse the declining trend. The pilot project nearby at the Northwest River Park has had a very high success rate, it appears, for the birds nesting in the boxes. So it seems like a reasonable approach to the problem that would, if anything, help to reverse the declining population. But again, as far as the nexus to the ESA, you've either got the critical habitat on your property or you don't. I don't think this project has any direct bearing on that. So I would move to approve staff's recommendation, which takes into account the protestants' concern and already reflects the modification that was offered by the applicant.
A second to the motion. Second by Mr. Lane. Further discussion? Mr. Fox?
I'm in favor of the motion. I was swayed by the fact that the applicants removed they made the modification to the plan to remove the boxes that would be right across the river from Mr. Luke.
Further discussion? This is a situation, I mean, no one can be certain or uncertain as to what's going to light on their property at any given time. Mr. Lane and I are fortunate enough to have bald eagles back behind our house, and quite frankly, I like to see that. And I think it's a good project. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Can I put this in direct, please?
Yes, sir. You sure may. Thank you, Mr. Luton. Yep.